are the ingredients a little new school.
What I'm making a day, what they making a life. Is it cause that I'm paid? You trying to stay the night. You keep rubbing all on my face. Make me feel I'm your type. I guess that
some soul. R&B.
I be in the bag levitating, doing meditation. Name me girl, keto. Picking on all confrontation. Pull invitation. Name me girl, keto.
And a taste of old school.
Cause I'm not a king.
My lady.
Ooh, baby. With no riches to call my own.
I don't have no diamond.
The heart of Bristol. Keep on, keep on moving. You're listening to Ujima 98 FM.
Hi, I'm Meg Cox and I'm a sustainable fashion stylist and runway event organiser.
And I'm Mary Minor, singer, songwriter and performer, and you're listening to the Persona Power Podcast.
The Persona Power Podcast is about using sustainable fashion and self-care as tools to step into your confidence, protect your mental health and strengthen your identity.
Because when you know who you are, you can thrive anywhere, on stage, online, and in everyday life.
Hello, welcome to the Persona Power Podcast. How are you doing, Mary?
Very well, thanks. Nice to see you back.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I'm so sorry about last week. I'm very happy to be back with you, but you did an amazing job at a solo episode.
Thank you.
I loved it. So today we're going to be talking about how important reflection is and how it's part of the process of being creative, of growing your own thing, but just generally being a human being. What do you think?
Yeah, because there was a defining moment for me the other day when I was recording the cruising show. As I was prepping for the show, I realised it was the 10-year anniversary of one of my favourite albums of the last decade. I guess that album has kind of defined the last decade for me, and so it ended up making me reflect on the last 10 years and everything that I've been through. And I thought, well, last week I ended up reflecting on the last year, and then I thought maybe this week it might be interesting to reflect on the last 10 years.
Yeah, I love that, because time just flies by, doesn't it? It's so easy to just get wrapped up in the present, wrapped up in the future, and not really think and appreciate the wins that you've managed to achieve over the past 10 years. And you grow so much as a human being over that time as well.
Absolutely. I think it's really important to look back and say, oh, okay, look how far I've come, look what I've done, look what I've achieved. Who am I now compared to the person that I was then?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about your last 10 years. Tell us all of it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, so 10 years ago, I was launching a business in radio production. And I was running singing workshops, and I was also at college studying music production. And basically, the bottom just kind of dropped out of my world when I started having severe health issues. Mm-hmm. I was having this awful problem, like severe pain in my left knee. And I kept going to the doctor or the hospital, and they kept saying, oh, no, you're going to be all right. Just keep walking on it. And I did, you know, listening to their advice. And then basically I just got to the point where I could not walk anymore. I just literally couldn't walk. It was just the pain was so severe. There was all this swelling in my knee. The pain was so severe in my knee that if somebody came and sat beside me on the couch and they sat down too heavily, it would send shockwaves of pain.
Oh my goodness.
Through my whole body. That's how bad it was. And the doctors couldn't find anything wrong with my knee, which was even worse. I kept going and they kept, you know, I had all the MRI scans and they were like, well, maybe it's tendonitis, but we can't see anything wrong. And I was just like, right, okay, so this isn't something you can fix. So I was just left in this position where I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what was wrong. It wasn't getting any better. And I just had to accept that was my life. So I had to give up everything because I wasn't well enough to do any of my jobs or any of my business stuff. You know, it was just, you know, it sent me into a bit of a spiral, really. I carried on trying to go to college, but it was just like such an effort to get there. Yeah, it was just really, really difficult. And I ended up having to drop out of college as well because I wasn't getting any better. And that was really disappointing as well, because I was studying a BTEC in music production, and I couldn't finish the course. So it was like all that, you know, I'd taken out a £10,000 loan to do it as well. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, yeah.
You know, and then I couldn't finish it. And at that time, my mum also got diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. And that's when everything kind of started spiraling, really. It was just like the depression, the fear, the overwhelm, just all of that stuff. But what helped me a lot was, you know, when I was just stuck at home doing nothing, was like listening to music. And then I ended up in this new relationship as well, with the guy that I'm still with 10 years later. And yeah, it was just a massive change in my life, where I was having to go, right, do I just have to accept that I'm disabled now? And what is my life going to look like going forwards? So luckily there were some things that I still had, which obviously listening to music, and then, you know, I spent a lot of time on YouTube listening to inspiring people, you know, talking, and it made me, you know, I was forced to reconfigure my whole life. But luckily I'd done enough music production that I had some skills. My new boyfriend, it turned out, was a music producer.
That's ideal.
And he started sending me music. He started sending me beats, and it was one of the things that I could still do was sit at home and make music. So I would just be recording vocals over his beats, and because I wasn't at that point, I was not a confident music producer. I had produced music, but it wasn't finished enough. You know, I wasn't at the stage that I'm at now. I was still very much in the learning process, but it was a very experimental time with me just sitting and recording and writing songs over someone else's beats. And then that turned into a whole music project. So that was one of the things that really helped me and saved me during that time. And then just kind of looking back, you know, like, how have I developed as a person since then? Because when you're stuck on your own at home, you end up doing a lot of self-reflection. My relationship was a long-distance one as well, which is quite funny. And the reason I ended up in a long-distance relationship, because, you know, before we started dating, I was doing 5 jobs. I was, as I said, I was studying music production. I was setting up a business as well, and, you know, running these singing workshops, and I was doing all these different jobs like bar work and cleaning and working at festivals and stuff. And on top of all of that, I was doing a yoga challenge. So I was doing yoga every day. And at that point in my life, I used to walk everywhere. I loved walking. I miss that part of my life a lot. It was just like, you know, he had, we'd met at a festival. And we'd met 4 years before at a festival and liked each other. You know, we hit it off, but then nothing happened. And then we met again at another festival. And I remember at the time, I was just too busy. I remember he was sort of texting me, and I was like, I'm really sorry, but I'm just too busy right now.
I love that.
And he was like, well, what was up with your time? And I was like, I don't know. And then just after all of that, you know, I started having these health issues, and then I was at home, and then suddenly, you know, we ended up chatting a lot online. You know, we were just chatting on Messenger and just having these really long conversations that would last for hours. And that was one of the things that kind of kept me going. So I wouldn't have perhaps considered being in a long distance relationship, but because he was kind of one of the people that was there for me, it made me Yeah, it made me kind of realise, you know, what a good guy he is and stuff like that. And then that's why we started seeing each other. So, but you know, because of the distance, I was still spending quite a lot of time on my own. And then he was like sending me this music and I was just sitting at home and writing songs. And then, as I said, spending a lot of time reflecting, what do I want my life to look like now? And now that I have this disability, now that I can't plan that future, because the future that, you know, the idea that I had before was that I was going to be running around like I used to, like at festivals, you know, backstage, like chatting to the different artists, interviewing them, like creating content, creating features. Because in my previous radio production career, you know, I'd done features that were played on the BBC and things like that, and so, you know, feature making seemed like a valid direction for me, and then music then was like more of a sideline. It was like, well, you know, I'm doing radio production, so I might as well do music production as well. You know, they sit together really well, and that was more of like the music was just the passion at the time. And you know, since then music's become more my main thing, which is great. But you know, I couldn't have seen, like back then I could not have seen what my future was going to look like. There was no way of knowing, you know, that I could go back to what I was doing before. So I was forced to just let go of all of that. I was forced to let go of everything. And I started thinking, well, what do I want my life to look like? And I started thinking, well, I need some kind of structure, first of all, because without that structure, you know, well, I'm never going to get anything done. So I started developing, like, you know, doing more meditation, doing like writing practices. Also, I started doing a lot of exercise, because every time I'd go to the doctor or the hospital, they'd say, right, well, you need physio. You know, the answer was always physio. No matter what I did, it was like, physio is the answer for health stuff like this, because the idea is, you know, if something's going wrong with one part of you, you've got to strengthen all the muscles around it. And I was going through so much pain that I was just determined to do anything to end that pain that I was going through. So I started taking it really seriously, and I had time on my hands, so I was just at home exercising and doing a lot of writing and then listening to like a lot of inspirational speakers, and I started thinking, well, you know, perhaps I can become a coach or a mentor and like start inspiring other people, you know, with the things that I'm learning and the things that I'm going through. So, you know, when you're forced to pivot like that, it can be extremely difficult. You know, I went through a lot of depression and a lot of grief for the life that I was planning that I could, felt like I could no longer do. But it's actually, I wouldn't change it now.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I still have these health issues, I'm not going through like the levels of pain. I haven't gone back to that place where I was going through that much pain. But it has affected my life in the sense that, like, I can't walk very far now. I know that if I walk too far for too long, I'm going to have a flare up and then it's going to cause me pain. And so it's affected my life like that. And I used to be out in the clubs dancing all the time. Like, you know, I just kind of grew up in the clubs, really. Always on the dance floor. And that was one of my favourite things of my life. And over the last 10 years, that's kind of that's diminished. You know, like I'll go out and I'll be able to dance a bit, but I do sometimes end up in pain from dancing. So it's just one of those things that I've just had to kind of let go of. Although I feel like I could perhaps build that back into my life if I go to the right dance class and I learn to move my body in the right way. But that was something that I've had to let go of. So there's a lot to be learned from the things that we have to let go of. Mm-hmm. And there's a grace in acceptance as well. And there's a grace in like embracing the new and understanding that, you know, there's always other things that we can bring into our life that, that can support us.
Yeah, I'm just wondering when you did start the process of having to let things go,
yeah.
And when you were at home and you were kind of with yourself a lot, what kind of tools did you develop to maintain a positive outlook on things? Because it's so easy to just kind of dwell and feel woe is me when there's nothing around you that you're having to let go of things that you love and enjoy. How did you keep a positive mindset during that?
Well, one of the most important things to me is my spirituality. It keeps me grounded. I feel like I have sort of developed myself in a sense, like long pause. That's what they call a pregnant pause.
Is it? I've never heard that before.
So, you know, these spiritual practices, but I got really, really interested in these kind of high performance coaches who inspired me a lot. 10 years later, I'm not convinced that what all of them are doing is legitimate. But it did inspire me at the time. So there's this guy called Brendan Burchard, and I'd read one of his books and I thought, right, I want some of what he's doing. And he had developed this thing. It's called a high performance planner. And I decided to order it. It was quite expensive, but I ordered it. And as I started doing it, I was like, yeah, no, this isn't for me. So I thought, right, I'm going to develop my own.
Love that.
So I developed my own. It's like a daily planner. So, you know, it starts off with gratitude. That's one of the most important things. One of the things that Brendan talks a lot about, which I really got a lot from, was this, you know, like, decide what your energy is going to feel like. And he suggests, like, every time you walk through a doorway, that's a cue to decide what energy you're going to bring into the next space, so that you start becoming intentional about these things. And so it's like, you know, in the morning, deciding what kind of day do I want to have? How do I want to feel? And how can I achieve that? I want to feel good today, but how can I achieve feeling good? One of the things my mum always used to say to me was, smile, because when you smile, even if it's a fake smile, your brain can't tell the difference, and it starts producing the feel-good chemicals anyway. So you get the endorphins even from a fake smile. And so I'd be like, right, how can I achieve that? Am I just going to grin my way through the day? Am I going to, like, you know, look for the things out in the world that I appreciate and try to bring a bit of awe and childlike wonder to the world and start seeing the world as, like, instead of seeing it as a grey and dull place, like, oh, that mist is casting a magical light over those trees, you know, and start looking for the beauty, looking for the wonder, looking for the things to be grateful for. You know, how do I choose to feel? What energy do I choose to bring? And then trying to, like, create, like, a loose structure for my day as well. So, what things do I want to achieve today? Bearing in mind that I don't want to try and achieve too much, because if we give ourselves too much to do, we can end up feeling like we've failed. So it's about saying, okay, I want to make sure I do my exercise today. I want to make sure I do my singing practice today. I want to make sure that I do some writing today, some reflective writing today. I'd like to sit for a little bit at my workstation and record some vocal, you know, but just, like, simple things that build these routines, these regular routines. And I got really into nutrition as well, so it started becoming really important to me to, you know, feed my body really nutritious foods, feed my brain as well really nutritious foods. So I developed this daily plan, and I've been doing that for about And it is sporadic. The good thing about it is it's not, you know, the days aren't dated. So if I drop it for a bit, that's okay. I can pick it up. You know, if I miss doing one morning, that's okay. I can still carry on the next day. So they're just sheets that I print out myself. And I've been doing it for about 7 years.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah.
I like that you give yourself grace when you miss one. That's also very important. It's important to, like, the way that you can maintain things like that is by giving yourself grace when you drop down. It's almost like assuming that you will forget one day.
Yeah.
And not rather than penalizing yourself when you've forgotten.
Exactly.
It's about having that, like, kindness towards yourself as well.
Exactly. And then the other thing is it's about self-reflection at the end of the day. And it was a tool that started helping me to manage my health and my well-being, because at the end of the day I would reflect and say, did I achieve what I wanted to achieve? Not with punishment or, you know, but if I didn't achieve it, why didn't I achieve it? What, you know, what got in the way? What held me back? And then I started giving myself a score for how my physical health was doing and how my mental health was doing out of 10, based loosely on this thing called spoon theory, which is like, you know, you think you've only got so much energy. How many spoons do you have? Like 10 spoons is like maximum energy. But, you know, if you've only got 3 spoons, you might not be able to get everything done that you want to do. And that's okay. It's like, it's about acceptance as well. So it's kind of like looking at my energy levels, looking at my mental health, looking at my physical health, and just keeping a kind of like a health diary, really. Like, what's helping me improve? What's making things worse? What's holding me back? And then. Oh, and this is the section that I love the most in my end of the day reflection, is like ideas. Like, I have an ideas section. I started getting into this idea of like, let's practice. And it's a really good practice, by the way, if you're in business, is to keep your ideas muscle flexing so that it doesn't get out of practice. So it's like, because being in business, you have to have fresh ideas. It's a creative thing to do. Sometimes you have to pivot, so there's lots of things that you can gain from having this ideas, these different ideas every day. And then you can also kind of, if you're doing it consistently, you'll see that there's some ideas that you keep coming back to, which I'll get onto in a bit. Some ideas are just madcap ideas that might be fun in the moment but not worth pursuing. But it's a really healthy practice just to get into like creating these ideas and taking inspiration as well, and like writing down what inspired you today. And I also really like reflecting on what was good, like what were my magic moments for today, what were my takeaways, what have I learned. And I still love doing that. Even on a really miserable day, there was some moment of magic in there somewhere. So, you know, I think that was definitely an answer, a very long answer to your question. But those were some of the things that really, really helped me to get through a really difficult time when I was really struggling and really low and really miserable. It was like, those things helped me to kind of find a bit more joy, a bit more positivity, a bit more hope, a bit more light, a bit more magic, a bit more joy. And I gradually started healing and getting better. And even though my health issues were kind of continuing in various ways, and, you know, up to the point of like, I then started realizing, and perhaps because I'd spent so much time in self-reflection that I developed a lot of awareness, and I had this time on my hands. So when my friend came around one day and told me she'd just been diagnosed with ADHD, I was like, oh, what's ADHD then? She started telling me about it, and then I went down a rabbit hole exploring.
And you were like, this is all very familiar.
Yeah. And I just had to read every book that I could get, you know, about ADHD, and every article, and, you know, had to get involved with every Facebook group that was about ADHD, you know, till I came to the conclusion that I have ADHD, and then went through the process of getting diagnosed So got diagnosed like nearly five, well, it was about just over 4 years ago now. But again, that was a whole process of learning and change and, you know, this is who I am. This is understanding ourselves can really, really help us though, I feel. Like understanding what makes us tick, what holds us back, what our limitations are, what our superpowers are, you know. So, yeah.
And it also allows you to stop being hard on yourself.
Yeah.
When you understand why you do things. And I think if I looked at myself 10 years ago, I just thought that, like, there was something wrong with me.
Yeah.
Like, people thought I was weird. People didn't like who I was. And that leaks into your perspective of yourself.
Yeah.
When you don't understand who you are and you don't understand why you do things.
Yeah.
And I think starting to understand the ADHD brain, and like you, I went down a rabbit hole. And it allows you to... Yeah, I was saying this again during this podcast, is to giving yourself grace and allowing yourself to be who you are without that negative judgment.
Yeah.
Because I think other people's judgment also becomes your own judgment of yourself, which is a really, really negative pattern to have. And it doesn't allow you to grow when you're in that perspective.
Yeah.
And ADHD impacts every element of our lives.
Yeah.
And it creatively, initially, it can feel like a burden, but really it's a superpower within creativity, because you've got boundless energy levels sometimes. You've got all of this creativity that comes out at crazy times of the day. Sometimes it feels like there's no rhyme or rhythm. But it's about how you can ride that rather than being upset when you're not working to somebody else's schedule.
Yeah.
So it's amazing that you were able to make your own plan, your own way of working, because sometimes that is the answer. We don't have to fit into a mold of everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, we can make our own way through life. And I think looking back at 10 years ago, like for you, you were able to make your own way through life no matter what obstacle had just been put in front of you. Like, you had to completely reinvent yourself, really.
Yeah.
Which is an amazing feat to do.
Yeah. I definitely, when I look back to the person that I was then, I was so much less confident than I am now as well. So I would say that in the last 10 years, I've really developed, like, my sense of self-worth has really helped with my confidence. It was like I had to learn how to like myself the way I was, you know, because I so often we define ourselves by what we do. And so when you're left without, you know, what do I do? You know, who am I now? You know, you can have a real identity crisis there. And then that's I realized that I had to learn to love myself. That was my big lesson through all of it. And I've had to learn over the last 10 years, I've lost both parents and two uncles as well, which I won't go deeply into, but that was a process of, like, you know, where my self-love carried me through, where I was really, really caring for myself. And I think I had to learn to, like, love who I was without, you know, I'm not a radio producer right now. You know, I don't have a job right now. So who am I? So that's when I had to really, like, you know, start to figure out what was good about me, what was wonderful about me, you know, what was special about me, and fall in love with it. And I think that has helped me to feel safe to be seen, whilst now that I've started releasing my music and being out there on social media, and it's taught me that resilience, you know, when I'm being trolled. You know, it all started with these self-care practices of, like, you know, what is going to soothe my nervous system? What's going to make me feel safe? What's going to make me feel loved? What's going to make me feel like I'm okay in the midst of all this turmoil in my life? So I can't recommend these kind of practices enough. Like writing is a wonderful thing, meditation, but also like, you know, taking the time to brush your hair, give yourself a head and shoulder massage. These little things can really build that sense of self-worth that can lead to confidence, and confidence can lead to success, because when you feel confident, you're willing to put yourself out there. I can't believe how quickly the time flies by. It has been a great conversation, but we need to go to the news now, but we will be back after this little break, so stay tuned.
Keeping you informed. The BBC News, brought to you by Ujima Radio.
BBC News for Bristol. Storm Chandra is moving across our region, bringing more heavy rain and strong winds. A yellow warning is in place from the Met Office. Further afield in Somerset, a number of roads have been closed and flood warnings remain in place. It's been the wettest week since 2014 on the Somerset levels, with around 200 millimetres of rain coming down since the new year. A man who founded the largest metal detecting event in Europe has raised £40,000 towards a scanner at the hospital in Bath that cared for his dad. The Rodney Cook Memorial Rally sees detectorists from all over the world taking part. It was started after Gary Cook wanted to say thank you for the care his dad, who had skin cancer, received at the Royal United Hospital. The money will go towards a £4 million PET CT scanner at the RUH to help with early diagnosis, treatment and monitoring of a range of diseases, including cancer and Alzheimer's. Photographs of the distant universe will be projected inside Bristol Museum and Art Gallery this weekend. Immersed in starlight will include star clusters and galaxies normally hidden from the naked eye, especially in cities with light pollution. Bristol urban astrophotographer Lee Pullen is the man behind the images.
From Bristol, you've got all the light pollution that makes it so hard to find these objects. But if you've got the patience and if you've got the right techniques, you can take images of space from a city that can rival those from out in the countryside or in the desert or even on the top of a mountain.
Sport and in football, Bristol Rovers have a really tough game this evening. They take on MK Dons, who scored 5 goals on Saturday against Shrewsbury and are third in the table. That's the BBC News for Bristol. You're up to date.
The BBC News, brought to you by Ujima Radio.
Hi, I'm Meg Cox.
And I'm Mary Minor.
And you're listening to the Persona Power Podcast
on Ujima Radio 98 FM.
Hello, welcome back to the Persona Power Podcast. So today we have been talking about reflection, and Mary has been telling us all about some tools as how you can help to keep a positive mindset when things get thrown at you in life. But you have an idea to share with us, am I right?
Yeah, I do. I have an idea. Do you know what? Having ADHD means that when I do have these ideas, I have to kind of check in with myself and go, is this just like my next madcap idea that's going to take up all my brain space and stop me from actually progressing with the things that I'm supposed to be doing?
Yeah.
Or is this an idea that I need to make space for that has actually got, you know, that I actually can create room in my life for, that's actually going to support me with what I'm already doing and the things that I've decided that I'm doing with my life. So before I introduce the idea, I'll just rewind a little bit, because we've been talking about the things that sustained me through a difficult time in my life when I didn't know what was going on with my health. I didn't know if I was going to be permanently disabled and unable to walk. Discovering I had ADHD, you know, losing both my parents. And so, you know, there was so many things going on that could have made me really spiral. And one of the things that really, really helped me through that time was having mentoring and coaching. And I became very interested in coaching, actually. I started feeling like maybe I could be a coach as well. And because I was on a bit of a low budget as well. And so I had to find things that were affordable. And it just so happened that that Crust who's part of Full Cycle, so quite well known in Bristol. He was running like a mentoring group. I think it was called Workout Wednesdays at the time. And we would just jump on a call on a Wednesday. It was like a monthly subscription. And we would jump on a call on a Wednesday and we would just go deeply into talking about creativity. Mm. And it was a wonderful space for ideas and inspiration and talking about like what books we were reading, get inspired to read new books and, motivational stuff. And then just looking at, you know, our practices as well, like are we really honing in on our creative practices, and it helped to support me with making sure that I did my daily music practice, my singing practice, my recording, you know, writing songs, and it just helped me. It gave me that sort of loose structure in a way that is so essential for harnessing the power of an ADHD brain. And it was just a brilliant thing. And then as I sort of progressed with life, I started having more regular one-to-one coaching. I got on a business mentoring program with NatWest. And, as my health started to improve, I started to be able to do more stuff again. And all this time, I've just been really, really interested in, I've read quite a few books about life coaching and I know coaching is a massive industry at the moment, but it can be a bit expensive. And, for somebody like me with ADHD who's like looking for ADHD coaching, you look at it and it's like £100.
Wow.
And a lot of people with ADHD can't afford that.
No.
So what's actually helped me is finding these clubs and these spaces where I can be somebody with ADHD, that, a creative person, and then talking, being around, being on these calls with other creative people and having that accountability. So I'm actually on a program at the moment. It's called the AMP Club. And it's really aimed at people that are music creators and with ADHD. And we have like weekly accountability check-ins, and then we have like creativity sessions, and it's all just got me thinking that maybe I could create something similar but different that was more kind of aimed at vocal artists to support people that want to step into expressing themselves more through their music, through their art. So, not specifically aimed at people with ADHD, but obviously people with ADHD and neurodivergence are absolutely welcome. And it would, be somewhere where they would feel understood. But I'm thinking of launching this thing where it'll be, we'll have songwriting sessions, we'll have singing sessions, and then artist development sessions as well, because one of the main things and one of the programs that I was involved with, which I actually got Arts Council funding for, I ended up on this program called Music Career Mastermind, which was they're based in New York, so it was all online, but I was learning stuff, like I was learning more in-depth music production and then doing these songwriting groups, and again one of the sessions, some of the sessions that were really important was the artist development, how to develop your social media, how to develop your visual identity, how to communicate with visual language. And then the other thing about being on these programs is it can help you develop good habits and help you to plan ahead as well, which, having ADHD is another thing that I struggle with. So I'm actually thinking, well, maybe this is something I could offer that would actually help people like me, who may have ADHD or may not, may have ADHD and not know they have ADHD, or may just be a creative and who just want that support with, let's get together and let's try and write a song every week, and let's practice our singing every day and keep each other accountable for that. And then let's talk about, how we can present ourselves now as an artist, how we can be online and how we communicate who we are, how we, what kind of colours, what kind of styles, what kind of fonts represent us as an artist, and how we can find those things, and how we can know like who we are, like looking at things like archetypes to work out, you know, what kind of person am I and how do I communicate that. So yeah, so this is my idea, and you know, as I said, it's always about checking in with myself. Is this just another madcap idea? Is this the new shiny thing? But actually, in this case, this is something that I've actually consistently come back to over the years, that I keep coming back and thinking, no, this would be good for me as well as for other people. You know, it would be a low-cost thing. So it would be affordable for people, and it would help people to, I think it helps us so much to talk to people that are going through a similar journey to us, and understanding that we're facing the same challenges together. Because I think as any business owner, not just people doing music, we can feel very isolated. We can feel very alone with what we're trying to do. So it's so important to connect with other people that are on a similar journey, and, you know, maybe set up like co-working sessions and be like, right, okay, let's meet at cafe every Friday and do a couple of hours together. Those things can really help, and it's like people that you can like fire your ideas at and get feedback on. And actually, one of the things that I found really useful when I was on the NatWest business cohort was we used to have these group coaching sessions where we would take it in turns to present our problem or our challenge, and you know, we would get group feedback on what it was we were going through. So, you know, we would maybe spend like 5 minutes presenting our problem, and then they'd spend like 5 to 10 minutes asking questions to get clarity around it. And then everyone would take it in turns to feedback and say, well, maybe this would be a good idea. Maybe you could try doing it this way, or perhaps you could try doing it that way. And then you would always come away with some takeaway from it of like, all right, perhaps that's not the right way for me to go, but actually that sounds like a great idea. Maybe I could try that. And it's about kind of expanding your horizons through your thought processes and being like, okay, there's different ideas, there's different ways, there's different perspectives, you know, because we can get very rigid in the way we think about things, and we can just, you know, it's this way. If I can't go that way, what way do I go? But other people with their perspectives can help us kind of see that there's that other route. It might take a bit longer, but it's more scenic, you know. So that's kind of what I'm thinking about doing, and I'm working towards loosely. I'm putting it out there now. If anyone's interested, just drop me a line, because I'd really like to hear from you, and I'd like to hear what people would specifically want from something like this. So if you want to get in touch with me and find out more, you can contact me. I'm on TikTok and Instagram at Miss_Mary_Minor, which is spelled M-I-N-A. I'm on Facebook, Mary Minor. Also, you can follow me on YouTube, subscribe to Mary Minor Music. So I'm here, I'm there, I'm everywhere. I also dropped a video. In case you've missed that, I dropped a brand new music video last week, and that's on my YouTube channel as well.
I love it. It's fantastic. Definitely go check that out.
Thanks, Meg. I really enjoyed doing it. It was, I'm not going to talk about it this week too much, because I talked about it a lot last week. Now I need to talk about the next new thing. I don't know what the next new thing is right now, but yeah, anyway, so I'm thinking of starting a club. Come and join me.
Yay! I will be joining.
And hopefully the idea behind it as well is that, you know, we can support each other, you know. So, like, because a lot of the time when we go on our social media, we post something and then, you know, we might get 5 likes and, like, 1 comment. Do you know what I mean? But if you're part of a group of people that are supporting each other, then, you know, you can all just basically go, right, send it to your WhatsApp group. I've posted today. Can everybody just like jump on and
rally in some support?
Yeah. You know, and tell the algorithm that you've got something going on here. Right, we need to stop for a little break, but we will be back shortly. Keep it locked at GMA 98 FM.
Join me, Miranda Ray, for Bristol's number one chat show, The Word, every Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. on Ajima Radio. with guests from all walks of life, from activists to actors, from politicians to performers, from the streets to the boardroom, uncovering and discovering the news and views from all the voices of your city. The Word, make it the soundtrack to start your Friday evening. Real news for real people.
Are you tuning in to Ujima and it's all silent? You might need to reset your preset. To get the preset on your radio or in your car working again, just tune in to Ujima manually on 98FM or on DAB digital radio and then just save your preset again. Once you've done that, your preset is all reset. It's quick to do and you just have to do it the once. Ujima Radio, 98FM, DAB digital radio and online at ujimaradio.com.
Join me, Paul Obinna, with Sister Jan Dai and the Glocal team as we bring you Obionics, tools for rebuilding your consciousness. Every 2 weeks at 12 noon, commencing Friday, 23rd of January, on Glocal, ujimaradio.com and 98FM. Stay aware.
Every family is a team, and every player has a role. Mums and dads, siblings, grandparents, aunts and uncles, and even that one cousin who can't tell a foul from offside, but who always remembers your birthday. Even if you're far away, you can still score for your team. Send them money with Western Union. Cash pickup in minutes. Check it out at westernunion.com.
You're rocking with the best here on Ujima Radio, 98FM.
You're listening to the Persona Power podcast with Mary Miner
and Meg Cox. This is a podcast about identity, personal style,
also self-care and mental well-being as armour for both online and offline life.
Tune in on Tuesdays from 1 to 2 p.m. on Ujima Radio 98FM. Hello, welcome back to the Persona Power podcast. So today we've been talking about reflection, and Mary, you have opened up conversations around your new idea to help and support artists and musicians to build their creative craft and branding. Am I right?
That's right.
And talking about reflection, so this morning on the bus, right, I was replying to some messages from my best friend, shout out to Libby, I love you. She has been kind of talking me through a little bit of regret that I've had, which is really silly, because last year, right, I'll just give you some context. So last year was a really big year for me and my business, and I literally achieved my dreams. I had been dreaming of doing runways for like majority of my life, and I had been dreaming about doing a runway in Ashton Court Mansion, and I've been dreaming about doing a runway in Redcliffe Caves for many, many years now. And I achieved both of them, right? Why am I feeling shame and guilt around that right now? It's the strangest thing. And it, like, last year, it was, I guess it was a lot of risk taking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, runways are expensive things to do. They require a lot of work, a lot of stress. Not require stress, it can cause stress. It's intense. I put a lot of pressure on me as a person, my body. I put a lot of pressure on the people around me. My loved ones supported me so much through it. It put a lot of pressure on my business, on my business relationships. And I appreciate everybody so much. I wouldn't have been able to do it without the people who are around me. And I think the shame and the guilt that I'm feeling right now is that, like, I did have to lean on people. And right now, like, I'm having to pay. I'm still paying a lot towards the runways, 'cause they're expensive things to do. And I'm kind of seeing a lot of the pressure, the results of the pressure, like on my own relationship. And I've been getting really wrapped up in all of those like negative feelings of looking back at things and thinking, should I have done that? Should I have done this? Which is it's a totally useless train of thought, because we can't go back. We can't change anything. I should be reveling in the fact that I achieved it all. I should be reveling in the fact that like I set out to do something and I achieved them. Mm-hmm. Like thoroughly, and they were all a success. Like, why do I feel this negative things? And these are the types of things that my friend was messaging me about, and she said that, you know, when you're old, you're not going to look back and think about the money worries, about the stress, about, you know, you're not going to think about that. You're going to think about the thing that you achieved.
Yeah. But it is the stress that's caused that as well, because, you know, because you've been through an intense thing and it's been so stressful, it's almost like when you think about it, you can't think anything but negatively about it, because your brain is like, please don't give me any more stress.
Yeah.
You know, so when you start thinking about it, your brain goes, no, it's not safe to think about that because it caused so much stress. Mm-hmm. So therefore it's trying to protect you from thinking about it by every time you think about it, bringing up these, like conjuring up these negative feelings around it. And I think you talking about it now is probably the right thing to do. But also, you know, you were saying that you were going to maybe take a bit of a break as well. And that's probably your body telling you that you need a bit of a break.
Yeah, definitely. This year, I am going to take a bit of a break from them. I will be doing more in the future.
Oh, good. We need them.
Absolutely. They will be coming back. But this year, I just need to find a bit of stability, I think.
Yeah.
And just double down on my business. Like, these past, like, 4 to 5 years have been me really, like, growing my business, establishing it.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, I'm really looking forward to stabilizing it.
Yeah.
Really, like, building the groundwork so that then this is a solid, established business with like history of runways, history of all of these amazing things that have got me to this position. So now I've just got to exist. I've just got to work. I've just got to like continue to exist and work within myself and my business. And I'm actually really excited about it. I'm excited to also revisit things that I love and I enjoy doing. Like, I haven't done a painting in probably a year and a half now.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited to have the creative juice for that, which, like, last year, all of my creativity was literally just funneled into those events. So now I've got that back again, and I'm really excited to start designing and making my own clothes again. Like, I haven't done that since before I started my business.
Wow, yeah.
So I'm talking like 6-7 years ago now. So I'm excited to revisit things that fill up, you know, my energy levels rather than deplete it.
Absolutely.
So it is a really exciting time. And going back to my bus journey in this morning, when I was reading her messages of her reminding me to appreciate the work that I've done, and she literally just like I started tearing up, and I got a bit emotional, and it was just like a moment where I was like, actually yes, I have done those things.
Yeah,
I've stuck to my word in that, like, I said I was going to do these things, and I went ahead and I did it.
Yeah, and it's amazing what you've done, and like, I'm so grateful that you did that as well.
Thanks.
It's, you know, it's exciting. It's bringing something different to Bristol as well. And, you know, you've done really well.
Thank you.
Know. So, yeah, you definitely need a bit of a rest, though. Like, that feeling is very relatable. I totally get that. I've done that with projects too. But, you know, it's just your body telling you it's time to rest for a while.
Yes.
And because you've been a team of one as well, you know. You're very much like me, and you're trying to do everything on your own, and it's hard. It's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of stress.
It's a lot of pressure. And I think last year trying to run a business still on my own, and then setting up these events, like setting up the size and level of event that I was doing requires, like, would usually require a team of people to do that. Yeah. Project planning,
yeah.
Financial planning, the setup, design, like the putting the collection together alone,
yeah.
Like managing the team, like onboarding, like all of that. Like I was managing a team of up to 20 people at a time just for this runway, alongside trying to upkeep a business. So I was doing impossible things.
Yeah.
But I made it possible somehow. And I think, it is amazing what I did. And I think, like you were saying earlier, sometimes you've got to look to the positive things. You've got to look to the positive things that are happening around you. And when I just took a breath on the bus, I had some big sunglasses on, because I hate being on the bus without my sunglasses on. All the lights are super, super bright. And luckily, because I had these glasses on, like, I did shed a tear. But it was happy, because it was like, I can actually breathe now.
It's almost relief.
I can actually breathe. I can appreciate what I've done. I need to just let go of all of these negative feelings and negative mental patterns. And I think sometimes those negative mental patterns are a familiar place to be. Like, especially, like, growing up, feeling so misunderstood,
yeah.
And feeling like I'm not right, or feeling like I'm not like everybody else.
Yeah.
I think it builds a familiar mental pattern of a negative thought process through your own creativity. And instead, I'm just actively trying to let go of those, let go of the guilt, let go of the shame. You can't go back and change anything. You literally can only be in the present and look forward to the future, I guess.
Absolutely.
No.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing that.
It's okay. Thank you for you shared so much about yourself today, and it takes a lot of courage to open yourself up like that and be so honest with yourself and with us too.
I'm stepping into my power and I'm getting better at it.
Yay!
I just want to say thanks to all our listeners as well. Thanks for tuning in today.
Yay!
And how can people get hold of you, Meg?
Oh yeah, so on social media, I'm at clothemod, so clothemod, and you can also come in and find me in my shop. So I am in Sparks, which is 78 Broadmead in the old M&S building, and you can find me on the ground floor next to the cafe. Look for the orange mannequins and you'll spot me. Open Wednesday till Sunday.
Thanks, Meg. And you can find me on TikTok and Instagram at miss_mary_minor, spelled M-I-N-A. I'm also on Facebook as Mary Minor, and I'm on YouTube, Mary Minor Music. Go and check out my latest video, which is up on my channel. And subscribe and tell your friends. We'll see you guys next week. Thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you to Ujima for being our gracious host. We love you.
We love you.
Ujima Radio, we're here for you.
Yeah, I saw your roses this morning. A fresh reminder of all the times you lied, the times you were hiding.
You know, I tried to tell him, like, I tried to work with him, I tried to work.
What's it gonna take me to break your memory loose, babe? I swear I'm trying to break free, but your love won't leave. With your pretty little lies, the way you love how I look. Your eyes, hands on my waist, move them down to my thighs. I never played about you.
I just don't understand why you didn't appreciate me when you had me.
Now we're both stuck in the time lapse, wishing I could turn the clock back. I know you're gonna miss how I did it like that. I miss it too, I can't run from the truth. I've decided, front seat with you while we riding. My mind, it goes back in time, and right now I call break down. So I just reminisce now. It's bittersweet.
backseat with you on my mind, and I know you know. You know my style, just how I like to. It's such a shame, but I can't blame you for trying with me. I would try to. If I lost out on a love like mine, I'd cry too. Yeah, I know. It hurts so bad, but who did that? You can't complain, you can't be mad, boy. Maybe we should face the fact that love just isn't enough. With your pretty little eyes, the way you love how I looked in your eyes.